Oh, hey there, children of the night. Future Bob here, just apologizing for the late update. As you guys may know from the past episode when I announced that I was doing this, past couple weeks have been very hectic for me. I was out on the East Coast shooting a TV pilot for what could potentially be some sort of Bob After Dark TV show. Details will be scarce for now until we get more things set in stone. But I appreciate your patience, and now that I'm home, we'll get back to regular scheduled programming. Enjoy the Halloween special, the After Halloween.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys Toast Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, ever-forevering, my partner, my producer, my friend, my brother, Count Pank himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Yes, cape-wearing, flannel-wearing, tis the season. Bob, the veil is at its thinnest. Can you believe that?
I can certainly believe it.
I say that every episode.
I'm also curious if I'm actually live right now. Is my voice being protruded?
You are live, yes.
So people can, because I can't hear myself.
Oh, okay. There's a little box right there, Bob. But yes, you are live. You are in color. You are here.
Yes. There we go. I have a box. You didn't tell me about the box.
Some changes when you were gone.
I guess, yes. We haven't seen each other in a bit.
No, Bob.
It's because there was reasons. But yeah. We're going to get into those reasons. Let's talk. But first, let's introduce our guest. Because this isn't like... It's not like a guest we can't include in, you know, the roundabout talk about what's happening with Bob After Dark, what's happening with me.
Yeah.
You know, the beans have been spilled about what I'm doing and what I'm working about. And I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk a little bit about the season. I want to talk about why there wasn't an episode last week, more in depth, and what's to come, and kind of what's been going on. And
yeah.
let's bring him in.
Sure, he's right here.
You've been introducing the past several guests. How about I introduce you to this one?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, so this month throughout October, Children of the Night, we've been talking to exorcisms and the people that perform them and their different walks of faith. We started the month off with... Father DiMaggio. We talked a little bit about the Gary Demon House and the exorcism case there. A couple weeks ago, we had the rabbi on.
Yep.
Spoke a little bit about the Jewish faith and some Jewish mythicisms and exorcisms there. And then the roundabout the month off, we are talking about witches and witchcraft and exorcism and their walk of line from my dear friend, James from Peoria.
And there he is right there.
And James from Peoria.
Oh, hey there, guys.
Oh, hey there, James. Do you have a Christmas wreath up?
sort of. It's actually more of a Yule wreath. You join me right now in my altar room, and that's something I put up at Yule time. It's actually a pentagram.
Ah, I'm, pardon my ignorance. I can only see on the small monitor in front of me. Why do you have a wreath up already?
That's just where I store it.
That's fair.
It's going to move on to another room here.
I suppose, yes.
Well, the plan is to eventually, like, change the outer wrappings to match the season. It's just never happened.
I was going to say, it's Samhain. You gotta be ready for that.
I've just been busy.
All right, let's chat a little bit about who you are, and then let's dive into what's going on in the Bob After Dark universe. You get to be included on that because you're important.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So this is your first time. What's going on?
Well, I'm a practicing witch. I'm one of the few people I've met who actually got to be raised as a witch. A lot of people I know usually come over from being raised in different faiths. And I have studied the paranormal for pretty much all of my life, so I know a little bit about ghosts and getting rid of them.
Yes, that's great. Good talk, James. Anyway, well, nice to talk, James. That was a good introduction.
Well, thank you. And can I be the first to say congratulations on your 2,000 likes on the Children of the Night on your Bob After Dark page?
Absolutely. That's another thing we have to celebrate. There's like three things to celebrate.
There's a lot
going
on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Let's start with the anniversary. So our anniversary was a couple days ago. It's technically our 3 year, but I don't count last year because
the lost year.
It was like a lost year. I didn't see you for like 8 months.
Yeah, everything was shut down.
Everything was shut down. And I had to produce episodes by myself at home. It was like every other week. The episodes might have been 20 minutes if I was lucky. So last year was kind of a weird year for Bob After Dark, but we still did what we could. Mm-hmm. And now we're back. And so a couple days ago, we celebrated our anniversary, and it's really cool to be a part of it, both with you. James has been around since the very beginning, and obviously you have too as the producer and myself. And I'm very proud to say that we managed to get it this far. And, you know, I've been saying every year, hey, every year this is going to be one step closer to making Bob After Dark my full-time job. And I haven't made that goal yet, but we're almost there. Mm-hmm. I keep saying we're almost there, but we really are almost there at this point.
Exactly. Well, that's a big deal. I mean, 3 years, 2 years, who's counting at this point?
Yep.
It's an anniversary for sure. And I think this is, now, Bob, introduce me to this little guy right here.
That is Count Junior. That is my gift to you for Count Two, if you will. Well, that is my gift to you for our anniversary.
Thank you. It's a bat vampire right here. He will sit proudly right beside me, if you watch on the Jet
TV. What'd you get me for our anniversary?
Oh, you know what? It's delivery right now, Bob. It's in the mail.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're just making that up?
No.
Oh, you got me some Dasani, that classy water.
You're right, Dasani. Did I get paid for that mention? I don't know.
Oh God, I didn't even think about that. Whatever, I don't care.
Enjoy the Dasani, Bob.
I certainly will. Thank you.
The year of the anniversary.
So not only do we celebrate our anniversary, we also celebrated a new milestone in the world of Facebook. We got 2,000 likes on Bob After Dark, which is something to be proud of, everybody. It's very hard to cultivate natural likes on things, especially when you're a content creator. I'm very proud of that number. So welcome everybody that's listening to the show for the first time that came over from those new likes. Make sure you transition over to the Children of the Night Facebook page, because that one's a little easier to follow, and we post all the fun stuff there as well. So that's really exciting. Happy anniversary to you, Count Panic.
Happy anniversary, Bob. And it's also, can we forget that technically, Halloween episode
This is our Halloween episode. Would you like to know what I am dressed as today?
Bob, what are you wearing there?
I am actually doing my my normal Halloween costume here for the show, sitcom dad.
But you're wearing the colors of the show.
That's amazing. Yes, I am Bob from Bob After Dark this year.
I'm just wearing a traditional flannel and a Halloween movie T-shirt. But that's about it.
Let's
no costume.
Real quick, let's chat about where I was last week.
Where were you, Bob?
I was on the East Coast. I went to Salem. I went to Boston, and then I was in Connecticut for a couple days. What was Bob doing there? Cat's out of the bag now. If you guys haven't been following on Children of the Night or the Bob After Dark social medias, I was there shooting a TV pilot.
There you go.
Yeah, awesome.
Yes. So Bob After Dark, I got an opportunity from a really great TV producer, who was really interested in me and got things set up. And we shot the pilot. We're going to be doing some more shooting. We're going to be doing some editing. And then the next step is for it to get sold.
Shop it around, Bob.
It's up to the powers to be.
Okay.
There's no guarantees from this, guys. But we're everybody out there in the universe just throwing an extra finger when you cross your fingers that this pans out the way I want to. Because then I get taken care of and Count Panic gets taken care of. And we'll move on.
Bob, you're doing things. People are proud of you. I mean, this is a big deal. Be proud of yourself. You flew out for a TV pilot.
I did. Yeah. I am going to officially have a TV pilot under my wing.
People don't even get that far, Bob.
No, so that's just what I wanted to share with y'all. I did do a paranormal spooky show. I can't go into super big details. There's no guarantees yet, but there is something.
Well, I know we can't talk too much about it, but how was the trip in general? I mean, you went
well,
to
let me,
a
let
peak
me
season right there.
This is a spooky Bob Anderson, Bob After Dark PSA to everybody out there in the universe. If you are planning to go to Salem for an educational purpose, if you are going there to go learn about the trials, if you're going there to go soak in the energy, because lots of witches have gone to make their pilgrimage there and have made their businesses there and their lives there based on whatever calling they had to that area. If you were going there for those reasons, my advice is don't.
But it's the peak
don't
season
go
to go there.
During October. There is no parking in Salem. You have two parking garages and they fill up by noon. If you are unlucky enough not to be in Salem in October after noon, you are not getting parking. I got very lucky that I got parking at like 4 when I got there. Very lucky.
So it's kind of a tourist trap right now.
It is. It's not a tourist trap. You have to understand it. Even though like there's a lot of history there and there's a lot of things going on, if you go during October, you are going to get lured in to the Salem Halloween craziness.
Like Disney World.
Very much. I called James. It's funny, James is here. And sorry, James, we'll get to you in a sec. It's playing catch up here. I called James after I left Boston, the day after I left Salem. I was legitimately upset that there were people out there that were capitalizing on the fact that it was Halloween in Salem. And I'm not talking about the local businesses. I drove up to Salem to make my turn on downtown, and there was somebody dressed as Deadpool with a bucket trying to get tips for people to take pictures of Deadpool.
Wow.
Why?
Have you no shame, Deadpool.
And that's what I'm getting at. You know, this is a place of like mourning and rebirth of a culture and an understanding. And I get it. You're like in Halloween capital of America. I get that 100%. But like, I got to chat with some friends of mine out there that are like tour guides and stuff in the area. And I couldn't even get into like the Salem cemeteries because people were like changing babies on gravestones and tombs.
Yeah,
like, that's not okay.
That's not okay.
You know, that somebody's buried there. Yeah. So I don't know. All in all, I guess if, like I said, I'm not disgruntled at the fact that this town is making money, because that's great. I'm all about that. Maybe I'm just, from an educational standpoint, go off season. And every person I talked to there said go off season if you're there for reasons why I would go.
But you want to see the colors of the trees changing.
You can go in November.
November.
You can go in November. Right. Go in September. Go in November.
Okay.
Don't go during October.
Yeah.
There's lines for every store you go to. There's a line to get into the store. And if you didn't book, like, for example, the Spiritual Board Museum, like the Ouija Board Museum, mm-hmm. if you didn't book a tour there 6 weeks in advance, you weren't getting in.
Forget it.
Or the Witch Museum that's there, you weren't getting in. Or the Vintage Halloween Museum, you weren't getting in. There is so much. And, like, I only got to experience very little, and that's because I got very lucky that I knew someone there that was a tour guide. Mm-hmm. I will say that Boston was gorgeous, so I got to go explore Boston the day after.
What'd you do in Boston?
The number reason why I went, and both of you guys are going to make fun of me, I got to go to Boston and to Cheers to have a beer.
Wow, that's historic too, Bob. I sat in a historic bar.
And I sat historic. Oh, go on.
Did you get a Sam Adams Boston Lager?
I certainly did get a Sam Adams Boston Lager. I drank it out of a pint that they had there that had the Cheers logo on it, and I got to sit in Norm's seat.
Did everybody shout Bob when you walked in?
No, but I did meet 3 new fans that were there that I met at the bar, and my nice native ladies, they know who they are, very sweet people. Mm-hmm. Chatted up with them. They bought me a round of alcohol, which was really nice of them, and that was a great experience. I got to hang out in Cheers. Don't go to their gift shop in the basement. That was a disaster.
Crowded?
It was in a hallway, tucked like in a nook in a hallway. And don't do that.
Yeah.
But the front of the bar, I got to sit in Norm's seat. Like, that was really cool. There's a little plaque. That's where I got, like, where I made the Facebook post, like, of what I was doing there. I said I was, you know, I was Norm's seat and whatever. That was a really cool experience. And then I walked Boston Common, which is like the first public park in America. Lots of spooky stuff there. So I did like a little guided tour. If you guys are following me on TikTok at Bob After Dark, I did a little tour of that. Then I went to the cemetery where Paul Revere and Ben Franklin's parents are buried, Mother Goose.
That's amazing.
That was really cool. That was a gorgeous cemetery. Crowded, extremely crowded, but it was still a really cool experience. Again, maybe I don't know when Boston's off season is or if that's like a constant being busy kind of a place, that cemetery, but I highly recommend checking it out.
I'm guessing October had to be the height.
But it was
the thick of things.
But it was really cool. And then I went to Connecticut and did some stuff there, and fingers crossed everything pans out.
Perfect, Bob. You're making towns.
I had to fill that in, and I'm glad I get to share that with both of you guys right now.
Perfect. Well, you know, I asked James this, I guess, before we get into things about the whole Salem thing.
Oh, James and I had a whole talk.
How does he feel about all this?
James, how do you – James on how can I put this? Remember that we're a family-friendly show.
Yeah, no cut. We're on radio here, James.
Well, I'll just put it to you this way. There would have been some hands thrown and panic. We would have been calling you for bail money.
Oh,
probably.
No. Oh, probably best that James doesn't go in October either.
And yeah. I will say – I don't want to call this out, but I am, because it was a bother. Somebody was selling T-shirts there, which is fine. I get it. It's a T-shirt, right? Buy a T-shirt and here, whatever. It said, "I got stoned in Salem, Massachusetts." Ooh. Excuse me?
Yeah.
How is that okay? Yeah. That's terrible. And I'm not laughing at it. I told James that.
Especially when women were stoned to death and others were crushed by pressing, where they put a board on somebody and just kept putting on heavy stones until they confessed and or died. That one just. Oof.
Yes, but no, you could just. Again, I don't blame Salem for soaking all of that in, because I understand where they're coming from. And yeah, you got to bring local business, and that's probably where they make a lot of their money for the year. Totally understandable. But if you are there and you are like witchy persuasion, you're making your pilgrimage there, go off season and go experience it. That's my plans next. I want to go see it off season. I think me and James are already talking about a trip out there. So,
oh yeah, I'm down for that. Now I got to ask you though, I didn't think to ask this before now. Did you really run into any witches, or did there seem to be like a very noticeable absence of them?
On my TikTok, I called it Goth and Witch Palooza out there. There were lots of that type of folk out there, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's lots of spiritual stores there. So like there's esoteric bookstores. There's, you know, there's lots of psychic readings. There's a whole witch mall, which most of the stores in the mall deal in like esoteric merchandise and witchy stuff. Like so yes, there are people there. You could go, like, if you're there and you get a chance, you could get your reading done from one of the many people there that, you know, whatever walk of that world you want, there's people there to do any kind of reading. So yes, did I bump into like the quintessential like witchy type that's like, I don't know, fill in the blank, I guess, stereotype? There were lots of people out there in the pointy hats, like the cloth pointy hat and everything, but like, yes, I guess. So I saw them, and I'm sure there were witchy persuasion people out there, but y'all don't walk around with signs that say, "Hey, I'm a witch in Salem." I don't know.
Well, that's fair.
Well, how do you know between? I mean, do you ask them, "Hey, are you really a witch? Are you just wearing the hat?" I mean,
James might fight you if you went up to James and said, "Hey, are you a real witch?"
Well, but you said there's a bunch of folks out there dressed like in the garb. How do you know?
I don't think you do. Oh. I think you just fall in the line and. Oh. It's, and if you get a chance to get like into a spot that's by yourself, that place like has an energy to it that's thick. And I really want to explore that when I go back.
Yeah.
That's my
tough
plan.
To do when there's a bunch of people around.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like I said, there was at least 30,000 people there. I'm not over exaggerating. There was many folk crammed, and Salem as a whole, the downtown area is maybe like 3-4 blocks big. And then there's a stretch of area that leads out to like the harbor and stuff and like their little version of Fisherman's Wharf. Right. So, I mean, there's all of that to explore. It's just don't go to Salem in October. Right. That's just all I got.
Good travel advice there, Bob.
Absolutely. Let's dive into things now, because we've been chatting for a while and I'm sure James is ready to start chatting. So, if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, our This is a weekly-ish paranormal show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and, of course, weird cryptid stories. And my favorite moment is when we get to talk about Count Panic's favorite kind of juice.
Juice. Bob? Apple juice.
Good. What about you, James? Favorite juice?
Yeah, I'd have to go with apple juice, too.
Yeah, that's a good solid choice.
Ah, my friends, cranberry juice or orange juice, no pulp?
Yeah, I think cranberry would be second place there.
Cranberry's my...
I like orange juice with extreme pulp.
That's for all the demonic... This is a joke that James will get. That's demonic... The extra pulp, that's for the demonic. That's for like, bad-level juice.
That's right.
All right.
Need more vitamin C.
So we're doing something... We're bringing something back this episode because James... did research.
Wow.
And I've been very busy, guys. As I said on the last show, as we were kind of wrapping things up, it was, it's been really hard to kind of get the normal structure of the show down because I've been balancing day job, which is a thing of itself, balancing personal life, balancing the show, and then balancing the pilot. And it was like, I had to do something different. And luckily, James came to me with news articles.
Oh.
So we're bringing back Spooky News of the Week early because I didn't think I'd be doing this until next week. But James from Peoria came prepared, and he sent me over these articles. So Spooky 10 out of 10 for you, James.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so I got a couple of them for you. This is the part of the show where we talk about the weird, the bizarre, the macabre, the strange, the advances in science that borderline on science fiction, stories in the news that relates to Bob After Dark. So this first one is self-driving Waymo cars gather in a San Francisco neighborhood, confusing residents. And this is written by NPR, the NPR branch in San Francisco. It was a modern mystery in a tiny, tiny neighborhood in San Francisco's Richmond District. Self-driving Waymo cars have been converging all hours of the day and night, mystifying neighbors, KPIX reported earlier this week. Most would drive at a dead end on 15th Avenue, where they've had no choice but to turn around and leave, according to the outlet. And neighbors have no idea why. I noticed it while I was sleeping. I awoke to a strange hum that I thought was like a spacecraft out in front of my window, Jennifer King, a resident in the neighborhood, told the outlet. She added later, there's some days it can be up to like 50 cars, literally every 5 minutes, and we'll all be working from home, so this is what we hear. The random influx of cars have been puzzling for the residents. The cars aren't carting passengers to and fro, according to the Verge report. And when locals have been asked the drivers why they were in the neighborhood, they replied that the cars are just programmed and they're doing their job, KPIX reported. When asked about the incident, a spokesperson for Waymo chalked up the weird happenings to traffic signs. There were all one-way streets as well as slow streets, residential streets that drivers are discouraged from using through traffic in the area, the spokesperson told NPR. We continually adjusted to the dynamic San Francisco road rules, the spokesperson said. In this case, cars traveling from north of California on 15th Avenue have to make a U-turn due to the presence of slow street signs on Lake. So the Waymo driver was obeying the same road rules that any car would be required to follow. The company calls the autonomous technology the Waymo driver. Still, explanation or no, one look at Twitter shows that the unofficial invasion of the self-driving cars has caught people's attention. One user referred to it as a Black Mirror episode, referencing, of course, a dark dystopian Netflix series. Another joked, the robot revolution is not imminent. Waymo Menace, another Twitter user wrote. As for the Tesla CEO Elon Musk, he had kept his response simple, short, and sweet. And I quote, ha, ha. You know, now, Panic, we're going to get your take.
Sure.
But because James found this, it's only fair.
Of course.
Hashtag stick switch take.
Well, you know, I for one welcome our new robot overlords. I think Skynet's performing some trials there. I mean, obeying road signs, I don't think there's any signs that would point you in a direction where, yes, you have to go down to this dead end and then make a U-turn. That doesn't make any sense.
That's
Ghost in the Machine, perhaps?
Yeah, I was going to say Ghost in the Machine, absolutely. That's a bizarre place for that to go, just right there.
And it doesn't sound like it's connected.
No.
I mean, I don't know the layout, but it's like, okay, well, if it's coming from over here, why is it? Why are they all winding up over there?
I don't know, Bob.
Hashtag panic stake.
Bob, I don't trust not just this story in general, just these self-driving cars. There's a lot of things that we need to look at with self-driving cars. Is there some kind of a magic behind them that we can't trust?
It's funny. I rode in one during my trip.
You rode in a self-driving car.
I was in a Tesla, and I drove a Tesla, too, while I was out in Connecticut.
Really?
I was, yeah.
How was that?
Scary. It literally drives itself.
Did you sit in the back seat, or?
I sat in the passenger, and then I drove.
That's amazing.
A little bit. It's driving a Tesla was the strangest experience. Like,
I don't trust it, Bob.
The car brakes on its own. It knows when there's like a stop sign. It's that's strange. So I'm like, you know, slamming on brakes that were already slamming, you know.
It's good after a few drinks from Cheers, but I don't know, self-driving car. Not sold on it just yet here. Nah, that's just me.
See, for me as a motorcycle rider, there's been stories, but they've been real hush-hush, like it's getting swept under the rug. Mm-hmm. But whether by accident or by design, I've been hearing whispers of self-driving cars not acknowledging motorcyclists on the roads and just, yeah, you know, taking them right out.
That's a big problem right there.
That's a big problem. I heard a story from the person driving said Tesla that owns said Tesla that there's stories of these things just slamming into cop cars. It's bizarre. But I have a problem with AI like that, you know. We have this conversation. AI is one of the biggest things that frighten me deep down inside, and that's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with Jeremy Clarkson on Top Gear. He said, you know, autonomous cars, the problem is there's going to come a point when the car has to decide whether it's going to injure or possibly kill someone else out on the road, on the sidewalk, whatever, to avoid a collision, or it's going to have to do that to the occupants of the car. And I'm just not ready to turn that over.
No. Still a lot of work to be done with these self-driving cars, Bob. You were, but you made it out, Bob. You did it. And we'll see what happens in the future, I guess.
Absolutely. All right. So moving on, this one's my favorite story. And this is actually one of my favorite stories that I've come across in a long time. A New Zealand city is taking its official wizard off the payroll after two decades. Christchurch, New Zealand is parting ways with an official city wizard after more than two decades. His offensive remarks about women in the local government's new tourism strategy reportedly spelled his doom, no pun intended. Ian Brackberry Channel, known as the Wizard of New Zealand, apparently even on official documents like his passport. He's been on Christchurch City Council's payroll since 1998, receiving an annual salary of 16,000 NZ, which is more than 11,000 U.S. current dollars, to provide acts of wizardry and other wizard-like services as part of promotional work for the city of Christchurch, according to New Zealand news sites. But the job title will soon become, like many wizards before him, a thing of legend. The council has met with the wizard and sent him a letter thanking him for his services to Christchurch over the past decades and informing him that we will be bringing a formal contractual agreement to a close, said Lynn McClelland, the council's city's chief executive. That's a long... Council's assistant chief executive. What a name. She said the final payment will be made in December. The decision was a difficult one, according to McLeod. She explained that Christchurch promotional landscape is changing, increasingly reflecting our diverse communities, showcase a vibrant, diverse, modern city that is attractive to residents, domestic and international visitors, new businesses, and skilled migrant workers. That may have not been the only reason, The Guardian reports, citing controversial comments that Chanel has made back in April. I will not be saying these things exactly what the wizard said because they're very, not good.
Wow.
So we'll pass. Janelle told Stuff that the council has waved him off because he didn't fit well with the city's modern image, calling them a bunch of bureaucrats who have no imagination and are not thinking of ways to promote Christchurch overseas. Despite his disappointment, Janelle promised to keep visiting Christchurch Arts Center to chat with tourists and locals. "It makes no difference. I will still keep going," he said. "They will have to kill me to stop me." His career spanned from academia to wizardry. Janelle's life work actually was a subject of current exhibit on ongoing Heritage Festival at Christchurch. The event description notes that Christchurch was the only city in the world to have its own wizard since 1982. But by that, it adds Janelle was become the world's first art gallery-approved living work of art.
Oh.
And this guy's biography stretches on. It's a very unique resume, if you will. I'm not exactly sure what he did.
Yeah.
It's not like he was the resident, you know, medicine man or medicine woman or whatever have you. It's just this guy.
Interesting.
So, goodbye, New Zealand's wizard on staff. And I got one question before I pass it over to James for his take is, how does one just get a job being the city council's wizard? And that sounds like it needs to be my job. Hashtag James's take.
Do you think they're accepting resumes? We need to make this a worldwide phenomenon. You know, every town, every city should have their own wizard. I would be happy if my tax dollars were going to, say, the local Peoria wizard. Because, I mean, come on. But what I want to know is, what are his wizard services? Do you think if he's at the museum, he stands there and he's like, "You shall not pass!"
I'm trying to read what he actually did, and there's not, like, an answer. It just says, like, the dude, like, was a public speaker and would talk. But it's not like... It doesn't have an answer for what he actually did. It just says that he was the wizard.
Well, maybe it says on his website. I didn't look that far into it. I was too busy chuckling at the article.
"I give children happy dreams, general good health, and I want to make bureaucrats more human," apparently is like the top of his list of work.
Hmm.
So that's what I got.
Don't we all want politicians to be better?
So, hashtag panics take.
Well, Bob, again, he was getting paid around $12,000 a year for this. I would hope maybe he's using his wizardly power to remove the snow in the wintertime or filling potholes in the springtime with a little bit of magic there. But not a bad gig if you could get it. I'm sure a lot of cities and towns, as James mentioned, would love to have a wizard on their council. So it might be a trend later on in life. We'll see.
Oh, actually, thank you, Count. That reminded me. I read further into the article, and it did say that one of the things he did was perform rain dances in New Zealand and Australia when they were having droughts.
Oh, and see, that's worth your salary right there. You're earning your bucks right there. So it's not like he's just useless in the corner. He's actually helping out the community. That's more than some people would say about city council members, but we'll leave the politics out of it.
We're not a politics show, guys.
Again, have a wizard on your council. It'll jazz up everything. But sadly, it seems like his end is all done with that. But I wish him luck in his future endeavors.
Imagine looking at your tax bill, though. Schools, roads, infrastructure.
Wizard.
Well, I think some people might like that.
I don't know who powers it be. Whoever listens to my show live, you have an opportunity to hire me to be your local wizard, and I will take that job and be very happy with it. So you can hire me to be your local wizard.
How about that?
Yes,
we have a caller on the line.
Yeah, we have John.
John, you're on the air. Happy Halloween to you, or bless Samhain, depending on who you are. But hello, John.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, happy Halloween to you, and sounds like you had a pretty interesting trip there, huh?
I certainly did, John. It's nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, nice to see that you're back, all safe and everything, and hopefully well-rested. But, you know, I've heard James before call in time to time on your show, but at the beginning,
hey, John.
Hey, James, James, did you say you were a self-proclaimed witch, if I'm not mistaken?
Oh, yeah, I grew up that way.
Okay, can you explain to me, talk to me on how this came to being? How did you find out you were a witch, or do you dabble in witchcraft activities, or what? In other words, what is it like being a witch? Can you tell me that?
This is a great question. It's James' secret origin.
Question.
And just keep in mind, before James tells you this, this is me doing a personal dig at James because he's like my brother. James is the worst witch on the planet.
I'm a terrible witch.
Are you saying he's a witch, Bob?
Oh, yeah. He'll tell you. He'll tell you himself.
Usually, usually when people ask me, are you a good witch or a bad witch, I say, oh, I'm a terrible witch.
Yeah, well, I think you're a pretty good guy.
James will explain.
No. I'm very terrible at keeping up with the Sabbats and holidays and everything. Pagans do a lot of partying, let me tell you. It's a party for everything. Hey, it's the weekend, let's all party. My grandmother was a witch, and she kind of taught me and raised me, and she was my mentor. And I don't use witchcraft in my everyday life like some people do. For the most part, I'm just an ordinary guy. It's just a matter of I get more in tune with things sometimes. I get more in tune with others and their emotions and stuff sometimes. I kind of help out my friends here and there where I can. I only do one big ritual a year, and I do that on the winter solstice, and that's where I just kind of ask for general good luck and prosperity and good health for myself, for my loved ones, for my friends, just kind of a big inclusive sort of thing, include everybody. I'm an eclectic witch, and I'm a solitary witch. I won't get political, but sometimes people get very, 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 very strong feelings about their political views, and when they don't mesh with yours, it just leads to drama, and I just avoid all that.
You don't fly around on a broom, do you?
No, I'm much too heavy for that. I have to use a vacuum cleaner.
Okay, because when I pictured a witch, especially this time of the year, you know, they're always on a broom. So how do you being of witch origin, if you will, how does that interact with paranormal activity? Can you detect sense something more with your witchcraft? I don't want to, know if powers is the right word, but does paranormal activity investigating come more easier to you, I guess, in natural or
I'm not sensitive so much myself. Like, I'll get kind of like feelings, like different energies and stuff. But other witches that I've met have dealt with the paranormal, and they can see spirits just as plain as you or I see other people. So it kind of varies from person to person, just like any sort of skill set. Like, my kind of specialty would be like protection, banishing, barriers, and channeling energy, whereas others are... they can't do as much, but they can see a lot more. They can sense a lot more. They can read auras and things like that. So the skill set kind of varies from person to person with witchcraft, just as it does in everyday life.
Well, that's very interesting. Like I said, I heard you time to time call in, but this is the first time I heard you, mention that, you're an actual witch, I guess. So, hey, that's something. That's very interesting. And, glad you're on the show tonight.
Well, thank you. Those are great questions.
All right there, James and Bob and Count.
All right.
See you next week.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, John. We appreciate you.
Yep.
And have a good night.
All right, you too.
There you have it, Bob.
There we have it. That's in good. Some interesting chats.
Yeah.
So, yes. Absolutely. Real quick, folks, I just wanted to chime in and say thank you for calling in. Remember, you could call in at any point during the show, 219-845-1100.
Before we continue on here, Bob,
yeah.
Sometimes we get a call from a certain vampire out there.
Did
you get a voicemail?
I did.
Dracula called you?
I'm trying to figure out how to extract the audio from the hotline.
Yeah.
I'll post it up in the post it up in the Children of the Night page for you guys to hear. But yes, I looked at the Bob After Dark hotline. I don't publicize it so much because I'm figuring out what I want to do with it still. It's there. It's there. You can use a call in whatever you got. But typically around Halloween time, Count Dracula will call in live, and he will call and leave me voicemails. And I look down, and he's like, "I got," because it'll transcribe the audio, and it says, "I have a good one for you." And I look down, and I'm like, "That's it's got to be Dracula." And lo and behold, I played this audio, and it's got to hear it to believe it. I was crying. I had tears. I don't know who he is. I mean, yes, obviously he's Count Dracula, right? But I don't know where we met him. I could tell you that I think he's from Wisconsin. That's it. That's all I know.
Dracula's from Wisconsin?
This particular iteration of Count Dracula's from Wisconsin.
Who would have thought?
I don't know who it is. I'm just being...
We've got to start a petition to get this Count Dracula on the show. I would absolutely love
I don't think Count Dracula wants to come on the show. I think Count Dracula literally just exists to make me laugh.
I don't know if we want to find out who Dracula is.
I don't, you know, and it's like part of the mystery is like, who is he? Because, yes, he sounds just like him. So it's hilarious. I cry every time the dude calls in, and he did leave one. As soon as I figure out how to extract the audio from the Google, the Google Voice, which is how I set up the hotline, I will do that so you guys can hear Count
Dracula.
It's
his busy season right now.
I'm sure it's his busy season.
Yeah.
Folks, you remember to hop on and leave a review. Apple Podcasts preferred. You leave a review on Apple. 5 stars, you get yourself a shot on the show. Count Panic will cheers you on the show, and maybe James will throw some pocket lint in your favor.
Not bad, dude.
By the way, folks, I'm going to crack jokes in James's favor this evening because it's hilarious. I love James. He's like a brother to me on a lot of ways, and he knows this, so it's all in good fun.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
James is, you know, we talk about witchcraft, and I'll ask him a question. He's like, "Oh, ask a real witch. Ask a good witch. I don't know."
there's way better, more educated witches out there than me.
All right, let's talk of concluding Exorcism Month, right? And I believe we have a caller, so let's just take it live.
Take it live.
Take
we'll
a
do
live,
it live
caller on the air.
Hey there.
Oh, hey
I
there.
Have a question about a dire high school that may have had a haunting in it.
Sure.
I thought this is the only place to ask the question.
Yeah, by the way, who are you?
Oh, I'm Diana.
Hi, Diana. Are you calling from Dyer?
From Dyer.
Oh, right? Yes. All right. Well, let's hear about it.
Okay. So, lady friend a couple of days ago went on a haunted tour of Chicago. That's what started us talking about things like this. She said as a young girl, she was in the old part of Kaler. I'm not sure if she meant the old Dyer High School. I don't think so. I think the old part of Kaler, and she heard someone come in the bathroom, but when she came out, no one was there, and she felt that there was someone there. And then 2 other things happened. Who knows what they were, but they indicated that there was a haunting. She didn't know what that was back then. So then Glenn Eberle told her, as a few years later, when she relayed that story to her, that yes, that was haunted. And there was actually a janitor who would not work after hours, and it was acceptable. Because why? Because it was haunted. So I'm throwing this out to you to find out if anyone else has little stories like that about old Kaler or that area.
Count, take down some notes, because I actually... Yeah. Both my godbrothers, my cousins, I believe both went to Kaler.
Kaler is known in the Rhonda region as being one of the spots that has some paranormal activity.
St. John the Baptist, the elementary school in Whiting, the headless nun that walks around.
Yeah, I'm not sure what – I don't know exactly what the story is behind Kaler, but I know it's known for being one of
the – incredible, then.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Take note. I'm going to pick my – I'm almost positive – There was two schools. There's Bibich and Kaler, and I'm almost positive one went to one, one went to the other. Mm-hmm. That name sticks out in my brain. It's been 20 years since that, 25 years.
Bibich sounds like a familiar name. Yeah, well, I'm thank you for your time. I'm throwing it out there. I'll continue listening, and I'll call Gina tomorrow and tell her.
Thank you, and we'll be back on next Tuesday. I'll see if I have a follow-up for you then.
Okie doke.
Thank you so much, Diane. Appreciate you.
Sure. Bye-bye.
You know, I appreciate it when we have locals call in during the Halloween season, because any other time it's like, James, can you call the there's times, and this is like behind the scenes chatter real quick. I'll message James and be like, hey, can you call into the show?
Yeah, well, there's also times where you message me and you'll be like, oh, happy this or that witch holiday. And I'll be like, oh, is that today?
That's oh, bless Baboon. That's today.
Oh. Yeah, you too, buddy. What are you doing for this holiday? I'm already doing it. Okay, but what is it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
One point on Kaler there, because I believe there's some ghost tours that used to stop in the – there's a cemetery out there.
There is. That's – now, real quick, James won't know what this is. James, you even know what Dyer, Indiana is?
I feel like I've heard of it, but I don't –
well, you grew up in Joliet, right?
Yeah.
This is like – it's actually kind of close to Joliet in a way.
Get there.
Yeah, it's about like 30 minutes away. It's like 30 minutes Indiana border. That's Joliet. So if you take like 30 in, you'll get to Dyer first.
Gotcha, okay.
It's actually kind of close to where you bought your motorcycle.
Ah, all right, I gotcha.
All right, so anyway, Kaler was a Catholic school, right?
I don't know about – let's see. I got, and there's, if you look it up online, there's a bunch of stuff on Kaler. People tell their stories about Kaler.
Richard Crow, I think, did a tour, like, because I have his DVD of his ghost tour things. I'm almost positive that was Kaler's mentioned in his little documentary thing he did.
But she wouldn't be wrong.
A DVD. I only have the VHS.
I have a bootleg of the DVD, thanks to that time we did Haunted Hammond. I went over to the DVD merchant. I'm not going to mention any names because don't want to get him in trouble. But I looked down at the box and I saw the Richard Crow documentary. I'm like, wasn't this like a PBS special in the 90s? He's like, yeah, I ripped it myself. I'm like, I will take two copies. And I gave one to my aunt because it's great stories there. And there's a lot of fun stuff. But I think Kaler was mentioned in there. And I know it's Kaler, St. John the Baptist, and your old stomping grounds. That's on there too.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because like everybody seems to have a story about their high school.
There ain't nothing. My
old school.
But
there's some that are legit haunted.
There was. I had no ghost situation going on in Whiting High School where I
went
to high school. No, James, what about you in Peoria High or wherever you went?
I went to a rinky-dink little place called Midwest Central out in Manitou, and if you don't know where Pekin is, you're definitely not going to know where Manitou is. But it was a newer building. I don't think it was haunted. There are some buildings, and they say the high school in Pekin is haunted.
Ah.
And then John did remind me that was one of the stops on one of these local ghost tours. So people are very on high alert about this Kaler middle school.
See, reach out to him and see if we can go in there.
Kaler school?
I
don't know.
After hours, obviously. I don't think they want me and you poking around.
No. Well, that's the thing, too. That's a busy road right there. That's right
on
Route 30.
Isn't it?
So yeah. It's kind of tough to have an investigation, I think, right?
Remind me to reach out to Tommy or Kyle. They're my cousins, godbrothers. Remind me to reach out to them because that name rings a bell. Yeah. Like I said, it's been like 20, 25 years, so I couldn't remember. I remember Bibich. That's where one went. I'm going to reach out and be like, hey, did you either one of you guys go to Kaler? What's up
you
with
know,
these
a haunted schools episode might be a good thing to look into.
I feel like you're not going to get real stories out of high schools because most of them are told by high schoolers.
Yeah, all right.
And according to high schoolers, Breeder Road's like the most haunted place in the world.
That's
a place to be, all
gotta
right?
Got to go there in a few days.
You got to – and James, you can attest to this. This is going off the rails just a pinch, but every high school always talks about like that local legend like area, right? And it's always like, oh, you got to go there and you dare your friends to go. And that's, you know, you agree,
the
yes?
Thing- I agree that everybody, every school has that, but I will say that in my case, my high school, it actually turned out to be true
and that is the really haunted cemetery I've talked about, Zion down this way.
Yeah, I desperately need to go there. Yeah, I that's we need to make that happen because that sounds very important.
Well, you know, and my grade school, St. Stan's as well. Tales of nuns walking around.
That's St. John the Baptist, the Catholic school in Whiting. I have lots of friends that went there, and they always talked about the headless nun. And maybe it's, I don't know why, but they always, like that, and I've heard that from multiple generations. I don't know if that's just been a generational thing that has been passed on. Maybe it's an apparition that where they're just not seeing the head because the nuns wore the traditional garb to cover their head, right? Yeah. Maybe that's why they get it, but apparently that's what they see.
Okay.
I don't know why, but that's it's the ghost story.
Who are we to doubt what people see?
Apparently people have seen Michael Jackson's ghost at St. John the Baptist, too. Michael Jackson's ghost. I'm not saying this as a joke, James. It's legit.
Somebody did marry the ghost of Michael Jackson. I remember that one.
We're not getting into that for several
reasons.
The
Enquirer story.
Yeah, that's an Enquirer story. No, Michael Jackson performed at St. John, like, several times at what the Jackson 5. And after he died, people said they saw his ghost there in the panel room. I'm just relating the ghost story.
Who am I to doubt it?
All right, let's move on. Okay, so throughout this month, during Exorcism Month, we have been talking about Catholicism. What does Catholicism mean as far as, like, what does Catholicism define as evil, or what is an exorcism? How do they perform it? Then we talked to a Jewish rabbi who spoke of the Jewish faith and Jewish mythicism and the occult aspect that goes into their faith, and how do they rid themselves of demonic and evil activity. And we learn a little bit from that they become more reasonable people, and then it's not so much that. And the way I wanted to wrap this up was to talk to a witch about the witchy examples of exorcisms, because I know in my experiences I've been a part of several in my day. And I will tell
you've
you
been the subject of several.
I'll save that for another time. I will. We'll save that for.
If I'm a terrible witch, you're a terrible spirit fighter.
I do what I got to do for my clients. Okay, that's important. But I what I was getting at here is, every witch kind of has, and James will explain this a little better than me, but every witch has their own way of dealing with this. I could go and speak to 10 witches and I'll be like, hey, how do you rid your house of negative energy? And you'll hear things like sprinkle moon water around, cut a hole in an orange and put an orange in the corner of the room, or a lemon. I've probably heard them both. Sweep the floor with sea salt, sage it. Black salt, black sage. I've heard it all, but let's narrow down the nitty gritty, at least in James's definition. James, what is considered, I don't want to use the term evil because it's very subjective, but I guess your big bads, or your bad guys in your case, or the misguided spirits that are driving, that are causing problems amongst the living. What is your definition of that, I guess?
Personally, I would call them evil spirits and stuff. And it's very interesting because exorcism, it is the right word, but it isn't at the same time. It's more of a Christian Catholic word. Banishment might be a more suitable term. But I've heard other witches talk about creatures that, if you can see them, they almost look like a troll, but they're actually a good creature. Their appearance is very deceiving. And of course, as you know, the Fae are supposed to be these pretty little creatures, and they're actually very mischievous and can be very bad news if you upset them. So I think that's pretty interesting. But for me, it's kind of like an energy sort of thing, you know. Whenever you construct a barrier around a house, around a person, or you're trying to protect somebody, you always want it to be permeable to good, so good energy can still flourish and bad energy gets pushed out. You know, bad vibes, bad energy, bad thoughts, get it out of here, it's got to go away, sort of thing.
Sure. So, and I have seen things witches will even ward against the living.
Yep. one of my favorite I read earlier this week, it was you use hot foot powder, and it's a polite way of asking guests to leave faster, is you sprinkle just a little hot foot powder in their shoes while they're visiting, and all of a sudden they'll want to leave.
I think I might have a counter to your thing there, James. Obviously, you've never been a part of a Midwest goodbye.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I have.
I was going to say, I don't think there's enough hot foot powder in the world to do that. So in your, you know, I named a couple here. So what are some tools that witches use in these banishments, spell works or et cetera? What are things that people do?
Well, there's actually quite a few different tools, and some of them can be kind of specialized depending on what you're dealing with. So they kind of run the gambit of general to specialized. And what may work for some things, like bad spirits, you can burn sage, something that would be considered demonic or you know, really powerful, or something like a fae, they would just laugh at you at best, or at worst, they would get even more annoyed if you tried to use sage on them. What I've typically used to banish evil energy, hexes, and evil spirits is candle magic. And if you can believe it, as I said earlier, I'm an eclectic witch. I kind of pick and choose from different areas to kind of make my own amalgamation. And one of the things I have used and I know to have been successful in the past is holy water.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. I use that in a banishment ceremony that I actually have done in this house. I believe the spirit of the woman who owned it previously was here. She didn't pass in the house, but she had lived here for a very, very long time. And when I bought the house, I could feel there was like, I walked in and it was like, this feels like it's somebody else's house still. And that could have been just the, hey, this was my first house, yada, yada. But I just said out loud, you know, I don't mind living with a friendly, helpful spirit. But if you're going to be bad news bears, you better get out now. And the first night I slept in the house, it sounded like somebody was walking around in it. It was very interesting. And I thought, I was trying to sleep, and I just went, okay, be quiet. I'm trying to sleep now. And it did stop. And things were pretty good for a while, but... unfortunately, something between her and my girlfriend didn't match. But I use a silver candle, an incantation, and kind of go through the entire house. I do believe it could be adapted and used on a person who was possessed or hung on to. But as I tell anybody who listens, anybody who's interested, your most powerful tool is intention.
Okay.
And that's no matter what you're doing, is, you know, this is the result that I'm willing to happen. And I am focusing my energy, my thoughts. For those who practice with different deities, I don't, but others do. You know, our deities walk alongside us. They're not above us. They work with us. So you're channeling that deity's energy into it as well. This is an effect I want to change. Or this is something I want to happen. And using the intention of that is the greatest tool of all.
That's good. So it's mostly put some oomph behind it no matter what you're doing, you know, and that'll be able to banish something.
Right, exactly. And as it was explained to me, a lot of the rituals that that we have, a lot of the incantations we have, that's putting you into the mindset of affecting that change or affecting that intent.
Okay. That's fascinating. So what's the, I guess my other question is, are there any cases out there of witches stepping in and being like, I'm going to exercise fill in the blank?
it seems to be kind of closely guarded. Like, it's not really widely publicized. I did do quite a bit of Google foo on this, and I didn't come up with much. Everything I've ever learned, I've learned firsthand, or I've been told firsthand, or experienced firsthand. There's a lot of fluff on the internet that it's like, okay, this is bogus, that's bogus, this is just junk, you know. Not a lot of actual meat and potatoes, you know what I mean? But like I said, I had this spirit in my house, and she was starting to cause a lot of problems, including it sounded like a glass almost broke in the cabinet next to me. I was standing by the sink, and then a bookshelf fell over. And I decided before I let my girlfriend and the kids move in that this spirit was obviously getting worse and worse steadily and had to go.
So pretty much told her she had to go on and get.
Yeah, pretty much. I actually, in the incantation I used, this was taught to me by my mentor. You say spirits of evil, unfriendly beings. And I also added I knew the previous owner's name, so I added that to it as well. Your words have power because you're putting your intentions out there. And what I use for that usually is a silver candle.
Silver candle.
That's the color of choice for like purification and cleansing. Now, of course, a white candle works for that too. Even a black candle can work for that too.
Excellent. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I find interesting seems to be the, at least in my case, difference between me exercising something bad out of a person and what I've read of other religions banishing something out of a person. Distance has no meaning. Of course, we know the classic, The Exorcist, where they're in the room with the possessed girl and everything. That's kind of the thing. I have no limit on range. I can reach out and touch someone at a great distance. I don't know if that's the case for all witches, but recently a friend of mine, he had a bit of a problem with some spirits, and a mutual friend reached out to me and asked if I could do anything. And I was like, well, I'm a few hundred miles away and I'm kind of in a very distracting environment right now, but let me see what I can do. And I stood and focused my intent and was kind of like channeling energy into a ball in my hand. And then I sent it out. And not long after that, the mutual friend was like, well, he seems to be better now. He's eating something. So I think he's going to be okay. That's like, yep, you're welcome.
sometimes that's a good story, I guess. It's a great story. I'm happy to hear that had a happy ending.
Well, it wasn't a surgical maneuver. I basically did the spiritual equivalent of putting my hand through their chest, but whatever works.
Whatever works. I appreciate you coming on and chatting a little bit about like witchcraft and exorcisms. It's really important stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's important, just like in the physical, you should know how, and you have the right to defend yourself. So too should you in the world of the spiritual, world of the metaphysical.
Okay. Let's wrap up real quick, because I got you on the horn here. So let's chat. Let's wrap, It is 2021 and more people are turning to witchcraft than ever before. People are going to be conjuring up spells of all kinds without knowing the proper basics first. And they, let's just say they lit a beacon and something comes wandering into their home and they can't get rid of it. What suggestions do you have for them to get rid of it?
Well, most importantly, before you start dabbling in that stuff, the first thing you should learn is defense. It's difficult to summon something really neat, big and mean and powerful. It is easy to summon something that's just a bad guy, but something like a demon, which I don't know if there's a witch equivalent. I know demon is more of a religious icon,
But it takes a lot of work and knowing what you're doing to summon one versus just a bad spirit roaming around. They'll attach themselves to you just for funsies, you know what I mean? Most important things you can do that are kind of witchcraft related, I've learned from other witches and stuff. Salt is your friend. There's different ways you can have salt. There's witch's salt, there's black salt, there's red salt. Put a little brick dust across your threshold of your house. That keeps things from walking in. Different things like singing bowls and bells, depending on the type of spirit and lore you have. Different candles. There's different crystals that you can use. There are tons and tons of tools out there. So you don't have to look very far before you can say, oh, well, you know, this is going on. I can use this and it'll leave. There's all kinds of resins. I don't know how well you can see behind me here, but up on this shelf here is my little apothecary. I've got different resins, different plants and stuff that are, you burn on a charcoal disc and you kind of smoke up the house and stuff, and you take that around the house and wave it and waft it around. And things like, one of the things I've got on the table here is Florida water. It's a type of cologne, but it's like made with different natural ingredients, and it's supposed to be good. I've got another thing here. If you have, say, smoke really bothers you, if you have bronchitis, or if you have COPD, asthma, you don't want to be burning stuff.
Or you live in an apartment in New York City, and you can't burn sage. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I've got this item here in this bottle. It's called Smudge Spray. It's got crystals in it. It's made with sage and rosemary. And you don't always have to buy this stuff. You can make it yourself. There are a lot of recipes online. There's tons and tons and tons of books. And the best advice I could give on that is, you know, when you pick up a book and you're in the bookstore and you're like, ooh, this is a book about this or that sort of magic, take a minute, read through it. If it feels like it's bogus, leave it behind. If it really speaks to you, if it really resonates to you, that may be a book you should look into. Happily, there are witch communities all over the place now that you can reach out to and ask advice on.
Yes, just make sure you're asking the right people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's nice. There's a couple different communities just even in my area, and I'm in the middle of nowhere.
You are the Styx witch for a reason, James.
That's right.
I crack jokes because if you've ever been to Peoria, it is literally in the middle of nowhere. It's like nothing, nothing, nothing. Civilization, Peoria. Nothing, 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 yeah. Nothing.
I don't know if you could call it civilization, but...
Peoria is big enough to where I could call it civilization.
Yeah. You're not too civilized down here.
Ah, you're fine. You know, it's funny. I crack this joke because James is on the show and we're talking about witchcraft and exorcisms. I always crack jokes that James used is a corn husk. And that's how he wafts the sage with the corn husk. Go on, get.
Yeah, you started that joke when I actually grew corn.
One of my first fan packages I ever received, I actually received a note, a letter, if you will, written on corn husk. I haven't used it in my saging rituals yet. Maybe I will someday, but it's nicely pressed in a frame that I adore very much.
It's nice. That is a sacred, blessed corn husk.
Yes. Or if you want to feel fancy during a Sabbat moon, you go get yourself a case of Dasani and you throw it out back and hope for the best.
Well, you know, you gotta kind of put your hand over it. You gotta say, all right, you moon energy, get in there.
You go on, you get in there. All right, James, it's about all we got time for tonight. What's going on with you? Where can people find more about you at?
Well, I run a pretty little well-known Facebook page called The Dragon's Inn. That's what I've called my home since I bought it. I tried doing a podcast for a while. Didn't pan out this summer just because I've been just so insanely busy. But it's just facebook.com/The Dragon's Inn. And then...
just like Bob, I also am a Ghostbuster, and I go out and do charity events and stuff like that. And that page, I'm the Buster Biker. I'm one of the few Ghostbusters who are up on two wheels. And that's just Facebook.com/BusterBiker.
Yes. And are you currently doing any readings or anything like that people can get in touch with you about?
No, I've looked into rune reading a little bit, and for whatever reason, I have such a terrible memory. I have trouble memorizing.
Fair enough.
So I don't look down on people who, okay, I pulled this rune. Hang on, let me look that up. But at the same time, I know in my heart, it's like, I don't think that looks terribly professional, so I don't want to do that.
Fair enough. Compank, you got any questions for James?
James, again, thank you for coming out. But I kind of got a question for both of you guys right now, if you mind me asking.
Oh, hit me.
I mean, it is, we are here the week of Halloween. Bob, James, you kind of take part in it throughout the whole year, but Halloween
does not stop in my life.
Well, here's what I want to ask you guys. How does James and how does Bob celebrate the actual day of Halloween?
That's a great question.
That's a great question. You know, you and I celebrated it 1 year, Count, and you seemed a little spooked out.
You're right, Bob. There was a lot of paranormal activity going on in the next room.
We did a seance on Halloween a couple years ago. That was that was actually a lot of fun.
Bob started floating.
We did a traditional All Hallows Eve seance, which was fun. It just depends year to year, man. Sometimes I stay home. Sometimes I go out. Sometimes I like to give out candy to the kids.
Do you take part in the trick or treat?
I love when the kids can come and get some candy. You know, that's cool because I remember being the kid and like going to get candy. So I like to pay it forward. So I usually on candy duty. Last year I walked through a cemetery.
That's something.
That was something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Halloween, it's, you know, a lot of people's favorite in the witchy persuasion. That's their favorite, you know, Sabbath for a lot of reasons. Me, I just, you know, it's a special day. The next day is, you know, De la Muertes, the Day of the Dead. You know, that's a thing to celebrate. I'll put an extra chair out in the dining room, or I'll clear some space for somebody who passed. And, you know, veil's really at its thinnest at that point.
Where are we at right now with that veil?
James, the veil's getting pretty thin, right? We're at that point.
Yeah, and so is my patience.
So that's how I celebrate. It just depends year to year. Like this year, I'm not sure what I'm doing on Halloween proper. James and I will actually be together on Saturday. We're doing a parade.
There you go.
Yep.
James, how do you celebrate Halloween?
Well, I like to take the day off usually, and my coworkers always look at me funny when I say it's a religious holiday. But I'll jump in a costume of some sort. And hop in the car and kind of bum around and go here, go there, get last minute things I need for trick or treaters. My favorite year was 2019, the last time I took my ectomobile that I built out. I was dressed as Bro Thor from the Avengers movies, and I pulled up to a KFC. I was going to get lunch, take it to my girlfriend, and we were going to have lunch together. And I pull up to the window, and this girl is literally jumping up and down like, you know, this is such an amazing thing. And I just went, nobody will ever believe you when you tell them that Thor pulled up in a Ghostbusters car to your window. But I hand out candy to trick-or-treaters, and like my girlfriend's grandmother lives one street over. And she's all, we never get trick-or-treaters. My first year I had like 8. Last year we had about 50. Wow. I hand out like big treat bags with like Twinkies and handfuls of candy and all kinds of stuff.
James, what's your address again? What's your address again, James?
This middle of nowhere. Oh. The Sticks.
Middle of nowhere, USA.
The Sticks.
Good sized candy bars right there.
Well, you know, I've never given out full-size candy bars, but I give out Twinkies. Oh, yeah, it goes with the Ghostbusters thing. Twinkies.
If you are James's house during Halloween is a spectacle because James goes all out and he has a cool theme. He underappreciates himself on that quite a bit. He has a theme he does every year, and he, you know, opens up his garage, which is a literal diorama of a Ghostbusters containment unit.
Wow.
And he has a hearse. He has an
ectobike. People drive to his house.
Yeah, people like James's house is a spectacle for Halloween. Yeah. I don't want him lie to you.
All right.
Yeah, this year we did. We had an arch last year for like a cemetery, and I built a fence and I made it look like the hearse drove through the fence and stuff.
And right on November 1st, the arch got blown over by wind. So I was like, well, that'll need repair. And we haven't repaired it yet this year. So we did, we put several skeletons out front. One is out front by the little bit of a ditch next to the road. He looks like he's taking a nap while fishing. And then we got three more, two are sitting by a campfire roasting miniature skulls like marshmallows. And then the third one is standing by the grill, and they look like they're talking to each other. And I've got, you know, twinkling light in the fire pit. There's a light in the grill. And then there's also like a dog skeleton sitting like he's begging for food in the grill.
It's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, guys, just again,
I love it. I love the season.
Wish you a happy Halloween.
Absolutely. Folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams at the TIFF, no matter where you are in the world. I just want to wish you the sweetest of dreams of them all. Happy Halloween. Bless Samhain, everybody. Good night. And until next time.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Memoriam Development.